pastor this week. Welcome, Josiah. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel. We'll be in chapter 9 of the book of Daniel this morning. Daniel chapter 9, we'll begin in verse 1. The Bible says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem and thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Let us pray as we begin this morning. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that it is to gather with your people, to sing praises to your name, to worship you together. We thank you now that we have the privilege to have your word, to look into your word, to apply your word to our lives today. Pray now that you would guide us into truth. We pray that your Holy Spirit would challenge us, convict us, encourage us, whatever we may need this morning. And we thank you for what you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Can you think of one promise in God's word that's particularly meaningful to you? I don't want you to say it out loud, but can you think of just one promise in God's word that you particularly hold on to? I can think of a couple verses that are like that for me. One that I think of is Philippians 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's that promise that we know that God will continue to work in our lives. And another one I think of is in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Those are some of the promises that are especially meaningful to me, and there are more, but those are two that I want to mention this morning. Do you have a promise like that? Do you have verses of scripture that are particularly meaningful to you? With these verses, you know what I've found? As I've meditated on those verses, even if we just limit it to those two verses, as I meditate on those verses, I find that I start praying differently. I start seeing my prayers reflecting those verses. I start praying for the Lord to do what he has already promised to do. And why is that? That is because when I pray that way, I know that I am praying in accordance with God's will. When I pray, and often I will do this, when I end a prayer, I'll say something like, thank you that we can bring our request to you and know that you care for us. And I'll make an allusion to that verse because I know that it is true because it is in God's word. So in the adult Sunday school class this morning, we looked at a passage in the book of Jeremiah. And if you noticed here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, Daniel mentions that he was reading the prophecy of Jeremiah. He says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. We'll look at this more as we work through this passage. But Daniel was reading in God's word, and he found a promise. He found something that he could apply. And he did. And that promise led him to this prayer that we just read here in Daniel 9. So this is the big idea that I want for us when we leave here this afternoon. I want for us to go away with this thought, that we must pray for the Lord to be faithful to his promises. We must pray for the Lord to be faithful to his promises. But what does that look like? What does it look like to pray in this way? To pray for the Lord to be faithful to his promises. This morning, I'd like for us to consider three aspects of our prayers to the Lord. Three aspects. First aspect that we see is the foundation of our prayers. The foundation of our prayers. We pray based on the promises of the Lord. Look again with me at verses 1 through 3 here in Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So, in order to have the promises of the Lord as the foundation for our prayers, we must first know what the Lord has promised. That almost goes without saying. If you're going to have something as your foundation, you need to know what that is. So we need to know what the Lord has promised. And we see here in verse 2 that Daniel had read in the book of Jeremiah, and he understood what Jeremiah was saying. Jeremiah prophesied that Israel would go into captivity. They would go into exile in the land of Babylon, but that captivity would only last 70 years. Jeremiah 29, verse 10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." So the Lord had made this promise to the nation of Israel that they would return to their land. And Daniel's reading this promise. But Daniel recognizes something else. He knows where he is in the timeline of history. It says in verse 1, and also in verse 2, that this was the first year of the reign of Darius. So this would have been about 67 or maybe 68 years after Jeremiah made his prophecy. 67 or 68 years. So Daniel understands in no more than 3 years this prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Daniel understands what he reads. He knows what the Lord has promised. But Daniel wasn't just reading God's word. He was also meditating on it, seeking to understand it. It seems to me that too often, we as believers, just if we take any time in God's word at all, we tend to just read it, close it, and we're done. But we need to know what the Lord has promised. We need to know what God's word says so that his promises can be the foundation for our prayers. But it's not enough to merely know what God has promised. Like Daniel, we must then let those promises affect us. We need to have a response to those promises. And we see in verse 3 that Daniel prays to the Lord. By the way, could you get the time up there for me? Thank you. It won't make much difference, but at least I'll know what I'm doing. So we must let those promises affect us. There's a close connection here between what Daniel understands from Jeremiah's prophecy and then when he goes to prayer. These aren't unrelated ideas. These are closely related. Daniel's understanding of Jeremiah's prophecy caused him to pray in a particular way. And we see in verse 3 that he was very earnest in his prayer. It says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications." Supplications is the idea of pleading for something. Daniel was pleading with the Lord. And then he says, with fasting. So Daniel was going without his comforts, without his what he needed, because he was so earnest in seeking the face of the Lord, in seeking the Lord. And sackcloth and ashes. Now, sackcloth and ashes are how the people in that day would demonstrate that they were mourning. So Daniel is so earnest in his prayers, and he is praying for his people, the people of Israel. I wonder, for us today, do we get that affected by God's promises? Do we let it move us emotionally? Do we let it impact our lives? Or, like I said, is it just something that we read, we close, we're done? Are these just exercises that we do out of what we perceive as necessity? Or are we meditating in the promises of God? And are we making those promises the foundation for our prayers? I already mentioned how I use 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, in my prayers. And I'll often end my prayers with an allusion to that verse. But what am I doing when I do that? I am saying, I trust God's promise, and it is the foundation. It is the basis for my prayer. So the promises of God are the foundation of our prayers. But notice with me a second aspect of our prayers, and that is the reason for our prayers. The reason for our prayers. We pray because of the character of the Lord. So the remainder of our passage in Daniel chapter 9 is Daniel's prayer itself. And as we read through these verses, I'm going to read through them again, verses 4 through 15 right now. And I want you to pay attention to how the Lord is described. Now, this is a prayer of confession. So Daniel is describing the sin of the people of Israel. But I want you to pay attention particularly to how the Lord is described in this passage. So let's begin in verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. Let's pause right there. We see already in verse 4 that the Lord is great. And it says he is dreadful. The idea is he is awesome. He brings forth fear in those who know him. And then it says that he keeps covenant and mercy to them that love him. We're going to come back and look at that verse in more detail. Then verse 7, he speaks about how the Lord is righteous. And he uses a phrase in here, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. Now the idea of that term is simply open shame. We have shame. The people of Israel have shame because of their sin. But the Lord has righteousness. And let's continue on, verse 8. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, although we have rebelled against him. There again we see more characteristics of our God. To him belong mercies and forgivenesses. He is a merciful and forgiving God. Continuing on in verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his way, walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous. There it is again. He is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. And there in verse 15, he mentions that the Lord has a mighty hand. He is powerful and mighty. So we pray because of the character of the Lord. Now, why does Daniel put so much emphasis on the character of the Lord? Why does he mention all of these characteristics of the Lord in his prayer? I mean, he's confessing sin. This wasn't supposed to be a prayer of adoration, was it? He's confessing the sin of the nation of Israel. So why does he include all of these characteristics of the Lord? Clearly, Daniel's drawing a contrast between the people's wickedness and the Lord's righteousness. But I think there's something more here. Daniel wouldn't have even had a reason to pray if the Lord did not have these character traits. If the Lord was not righteous, if the Lord was not mighty, if the Lord was not faithful, merciful. So God's character gave him reason to pray. And I want to look at just a couple of these attributes in more detail. And one is that we pray because the Lord is faithful. Look at verse 4 again with me. I prayed unto the Lord my God, made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. So we've already discussed how the Lord is the great, the dreadful, or awesome God. But he also says that he keeps the covenant and mercy. That word mercy, or it's translated elsewhere as steadfast love or loving kindness, it's the Hebrew word hesed, and it denotes loyalty. Loyalty to a relationship. And in this case, it is God's faithfulness to his covenant, to his promises with the people of Israel. God is faithful. And he is faithful to his promises. Just imagine with me if the Lord were not faithful to his promises. We wouldn't have any assurance that we could trust God's word, and we certainly couldn't base our prayers on it, because we would have no confidence that he would do what he had promised. Thus, we pray because the Lord is faithful. But notice also with me verse 9, that we pray because the Lord is merciful. Look at verse 9 with me. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. So throughout his prayer, Daniel's emphasizing that the Lord is righteous, that he is perfectly just in what he does. Even in sending the Israelites into captivity, the Lord is righteous and just in that action. But Daniel isn't content with that. And I wouldn't be content with that either. Simply having a righteous God. We want a merciful God. And our God is merciful. Daniel appeals to the God of mercy and forgiveness. And notice, he uses the word though there in verse 9. In spite of the fact that the Israelites have rebelled against the Lord, Daniel still sees the Lord as being the merciful and the forgiving God. And that is what they needed. And that is what we need. We need the merciful and the forgiving God. So again, God's character gives us reason to pray. If he were not merciful, we would have no reason to plead for his mercies, to ask for his forgiveness, as Daniel does here. But since he is merciful, we can have boldness to plead for his mercy. And I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we've seen the foundation for our prayers, and that is the promises of the Lord. And we've seen the reason for our prayers. We pray because of the character of the Lord. But notice with me a third aspect of our prayers. And that is the goal of our prayers. The goal of our prayers. We pray in order to see the Lord's promises fulfilled. We pray in order to see the Lord's promises fulfilled. Look at verses 16 through 19 with me. Beginning in verse 16. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So we already discussed how Daniel is praying based on the promises of God, that the Lord had promised that there would be this 70-year captivity, and then the Lord would bring the people back to the land of Israel. So why is Daniel praying at all? Couldn't he just bank on the promises of God and say, God promised it, it's going to happen. The Lord's going to bring us back to the land? Because some of the things he mentions in verses 16 through 19 is things that would be necessary for the Lord to fulfill his promise. So I think that Daniel is actually praying for the Lord to be faithful to his promise. He's asking the Lord to do all that is necessary to be faithful to what he has already promised. Now, that isn't because Daniel thinks that the Lord is not going to be faithful. No, it's because, like we mentioned earlier, if you're praying for what God has promised, you can be sure that you are praying in accord with God's will. We see in verse 16, Daniel pleads with the Lord that he would turn away his anger and his fury from Jerusalem. And then in verse 17, he prayed that the Lord would shine his face. Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. So he's asking for the Lord's favor. And specifically, he's asking for the Lord's favor on the Lord's sanctuary, that is, his temple, which at this point is in ruins in Jerusalem. And Daniel is asking for the Lord to restore the worship of the Lord in Jerusalem. And then in verse 18, Daniel asks the Lord to incline his ear and to hear, and to open his eyes and to behold, to see their desolations, their ruins, and particularly those of the city which is called by thy name, that be the city of Jerusalem. And then at the end of that verse, he gives the basis, what he's banking on for God to hear him. He says, not for our righteousnesses. He's saying, we're not coming to you and asking for this because we're a righteous people, because we're not. No. It says, not for our... we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. And then in verse 19, Daniel gives a series of these short, pithy statements, short requests. He says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, or delay not. But Daniel isn't just making requests for God to be faithful. He has another purpose. He's not asking for God to be faithful for our benefit, for the people of Israel's benefit. He's asking for the Lord to be faithful for the Lord's benefit. Notice in several of these verses, verse 17, very last four words, for the Lord's sake. And then in verse 18, he speaks of the city that is called by thy name. And then in verse 19, he says, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. In other words, he's concerned about the honor and the glory, the praise that the Lord receives when he is faithful to keep his promises. He's not looking for the comforts, the well-being of the Israelites. He's looking for the Lord to be honored in his prayers and in the Lord's fulfillment of his prophecy. So, why would we pray for something that God has already promised? Simply because prayer is not primarily concerned with asking the Lord for what we want. It is primarily concerned with asking the Lord for what He wants. Prayer is not aligning God's will to our will. It is aligning our will to God's will. That's really what prayer is. And when we understand that, it will change how we pray. Instead of it being my prayer list, and there's nothing wrong with having a prayer list, but it is about the Lord receiving the honor and the Lord doing His will, and that we are merely asking the Lord to do what He has promised. We're asking the Lord to be faithful to His promises. So we've seen three aspects of our prayers to the Lord. We've seen the foundation for our prayers, the reason for our prayers, and the goal of our prayers. So I wonder today, what are you praying about? Are you praying? That's a good place to start. Are you praying? We should be praying. But if we are praying, we should be praying in a way that is lifting up the name of the Lord, that's honoring Him. It's not all about what we want, but it's all about what He wants. We must pray for the Lord to be faithful to His promise.